Chafil! Greetings, David Martinez podcast here, coming at you live from mi casa in Pomona, California. Thank you guys for joining me on this fine October evening, Saturday, to be exact, October the 19th. So I will forego the usual formalities of apologizing for how long it's been. You know how long it's been. I know how long it's been. You know, we don't have to, you know, sort of dig up and hash not so old, you know, wrongs and mistakes. We're just going to move forward. We're going to keep our eyes fixed on the here and now. We're going to rejoice in the fact that I'm here now with you now in the present. Let's just focus on the now, shall we? Can we just let all that stuff go? All that time in the past that I was not podcasting for you. Can we just forget about it already? Cause you have to bring it up every freaking time. Why can't we just have a nice time? Why can't we just have a nice time here? Huh? Why not? Huh? Huh? Sorry about that. It's more of a me problem than a you problem. So anyhow, podcast password for the day, episode. So let's see here, podcast password. Why don't we, let's just go with kudos. Kudos to, those who actually have been once again listening to the podcast. So special kudos to my good friend, Mr. Eric Bensamakan, who actually is going to be starting his own podcast. Tentatively titled The Law According to Eric. He's an attorney, in the Valley. So, kudos to my good friend Eric for that. My friend Sam Anaya, thank you so much for continuing to listen. My sister-in-law, Abigail Abertweets Fisher, for continuing to listen. And to all the rest of you who are listening in silence, who choose to remain anonymous, for all the many, many people out there who have decided that, no, I don't need the fanfare and the vainglorious sort of glory of participating in the podcast password. I'm just going to do the right thing sort of in silence. I'm going to be the humble servant of the David Martinez podcast and just continue to listen without all of the sort of recognition of a participating in the past. I'm going to assume that there is just a lot of you out there. That's what I'm going to do because it's the only thing that can just sort of keep me going. Really, it's not too much going on. I mean, house stuff has been house stuff, you know, feeling like a home, you know, for the most part. That's all cool. We had a housewarming party. That was very nice. Lots of people and gifts and sort of things. And it's good because we sort of came out ahead. I guess the goal with these sort of housewarming parties is to always go, okay, I am going to be investing in X amount of food and amenities, and we are going to be inviting Y amount of people. Therefore, we should hit at least threshold Z of, you know, stuff in order to come out ahead in this whole program. And we did. And it was nice. And it was great. And it was, you know, on top of coming out ahead, it was also just a nice time. So, you know, that was sort of that. Anyhow, so getting into the podcast, topics for today, I had two solid topics in mind going into this. And, I was left with like, oh, I've got some alone time in which I can do a podcast, but I only got two topics. And so I kind of started going back through my notes, notes. And then I found an old sort of thing that I had written before that I could talk about. I'm like, all right, cool. Well, that's sort of timeless. Let me go and just talk about that. So, for many years now, and it's one of these things that's gone on for longer than I can really remember. I'm sure I haven't always had this, but I guess since at least my college years, I've had this reoccurring dream, maybe a little after my college years, I'm not sure, in which, and the particulars and a lot of the parameters and the surroundings and the geography of the dream and the people in the dream always change, but the general principle is always the same. I sort of wake up in this dream with a sort of half memory that I've enrolled in classes, that I've had all these, like almost a full load's worth of classes in a full semester's worth of classes that I have enrolled in that maybe I was attending in the beginning of the semester, but in the point of time in which I enter in on my dream, I've kind of stopped and have sort of long since neglected sort of attending. And now the end of the class period, and I guess I've just sort of forgot, like in my dream, I've just kind of completely forgotten that I basically enrolled in college and had all these classes that I was supposed to be taking, you know, and I wake up, I sort of enter in on my dream at this point of time in which the semester's almost over. I have missed almost every assignment, almost every exam. I have just faded, fractured memories of a few little classes here and there that I kind of went into and attended. But mostly I'm at the end of it, and now if I don't make some radical change and just put in a whole crap load of work, I'm going to completely fail, and I'm just... The whole dream is this frantic anxiety of like traveling to the campus and like talking to professors and like, you know, frantically studying and just looking through books and materials and like trying to catch myself up and like asking for any extra curricular kind of like extra credit activities that I can do to make up X, Y, and Z. And like, it's just the whole dream is just this frantic mess of me feeling like there was this big giant thing that I had signed up for that I had completely neglected and forgot about. And now it's pressing on me with just such tremendous force that I need to do something. And the dream is so, again, like the surroundings are always different. Like sometimes like it's like the school campus looks quite a bit like Biola, my old college campus. Sometimes it resembles very strongly like the sort of cold concrete 80s sort of, you know, stoic look of Cypress College, which was a junior college that I attended. Sometimes like the building and the surroundings look very unrecognizably different, like maybe a school I saw on TV or in a movie somewhere, and the faces are always changing, and the classes that I'm, you know, are like pressing upon me are always different. Like it could be a science class, it could be a second language course, whatever it is, like, all the particulars always change, but the sort of the core of the dream of just this giant obligation that I, you know, at some previous point in time committed myself to that I've completely neglected is now pressing on me, and I have to, you know, work and you know, frantically to make this happen. And the dream is so palpable to me that I wake up and I'm still left with this residual anxiety, that sort of half conscious feeling of like, crap, is there something, like, did I tell somebody that, and it's just such a frustrating dream to have. And it doesn't happen a lot. Like sometimes months or maybe even a year will go by before I have it again. But every now and again, the dream just sort of pops up, and it's just sort of it's so weird and jarring. And it's just so odd that just this reoccurring theme keeps happening to me over the years that, I don't know. I don't even know what to think of it. I think I asked, somebody once about what that particular, sort of type of dream could mean. And, I think the general answer was something like, oh, you know, usually like dreams like that are, like if you have like there's certain dreams that correspond to anxiety. Like one dream I heard that corresponds to anxiety is like if you have a dream in which your teeth are falling out or like your teeth are all messed up. I've had that dream actually once or twice, but it's been a long time. But usually it's something like, I mean, again, pretty much what one might think based on my description, which was that, oh, well, it sounds like there's something in your life or you have things in your life. You're constantly being put in situations maybe where you're always anxious over, you know, things that you're forgetting. Like you're always worried that you're forgetting something. And you know, in my small business IT world of, you know, sort of life, like that is an idea, that is an existence that is pressing upon me always. Like, you know, I'm like halfway through a day, I'm always like, oh crap, I told so-and-so I was going to log in and fix this thing or look at this particular thing. Like I'm always, you know, people are always, you know, coming to me with requests, both, you know, in and outside of the office that, you know, I do forget things, but I don't know, you know, I guess. And maybe it's one of these things where the easiest and most obvious interpretation is the correct one. I don't know, but in this case, that's the only thing I could think of, you know? I'm not a dream interpreter. I'm not Joseph with his many colored coat interpreting the wild and varied dreams of the Pharaoh and his servants. I'm just David, dude with a podcast. So, that is that, hang on a sec, stupid pages are stuck together. So, topic number two, just going to say it, going to set the record straight. I'm going to end the controversial controversy of the matter, and just I'm just going to put it out there. I'm just going to say, dogs are better pets. Dogs are, at least in this country, in this day and age, are probably the best pet that the average person can have in their house. I'm just going to say it. I'm going to lay it out there. I'm going to throw the gauntlet in the ring, and just bam. That's just it. And that's where we're going to go with here for the next topic. Over the years, this is now my defense. This is now my thesis defense. Over the years, like, my family and I, we've had numerous sort of pets in our lives. Dogs were obviously a very prevalent part of our existence. We have also had various forms of rodentia, of varmint in the house, everything from like guinea pigs. I don't know if we ever had gerbils, but we did have guinea pigs, rabbits, rats, those sorts of things. Did we ever have fish? No, I used to have to take care of the fish and other animal wildlife of a neighbor of ours. But usually with dogs, we're kind of like the stable. We almost always had to have a dog. You know, and so of course, like with, you know, people in your life, some dogs you like better than others. But I have found over the years, observing not only on my own experience, but also just looking at the lives of other people who are pet people and who have pets and like pets, I've just come to the conclusion that, you know, albeit maybe personal and subjective and uninformed conclusion, albeit, that dogs are just, they're just the best. They really just are. Because like most other pets, you know, different pets, different categories of pets usually have different problems, different unsatisfactory things that sort of go along with them. Like some pets are like too fragile or sort of skittish to really be enjoyable as, you know, as an enjoyable source of like just sort of, you know, comfort or companionship. Like for me, that's sort of like where most rodent or like varmint type pets are, like gerbils and mice and even like rabbits and guinea pigs. Like they either are too skittish to want to be held, so you can't really touch them, or at the very least, like they're always trying to struggle and get away from you, and like they don't really want to be like even if you can get them and kind of hold them for a while, like there's usually just a limit as far as how long they're going to let that happen, and then like, okay, I'm a fragile animal, let me go, and then like you can't really play with them too much because they're obviously much smaller and more fragile than you are, so you might break them somehow. I will say, just on a slightly side note, I feel like rats were kind of a good exception for me with that growing up. Cause like, and I mean, forget like feral wild rats. Screw those guys. Those guys can eat poison and die. But like pet rats, like white ones or like ones with like gray heads or like, you know, kind of friendly sort of rats. Like I always liked them cause they were, you know, they were cute. They were small enough to be cute, but they were hardy enough to like not be so delicate and so fragile. Like you gotta be careful with, don't touch the rat though. You're gonna like hurt its legs. Oh, and like, and they weren't afraid of people. Like you could totally just grab a rat and it's just like, all right, cool, whatever. This is what we're doing now. And we'll just walk, you know, crawl around you, eat out of your hand, and like, and then when you're done with it, you just put it back in the cage. And the rat was totally cool. Like it was just a very cool. For me, it was like the coolest rodent, varmint type creature I've ever had in the house that I wasn't forced to kill, to murder, obviously. But as far as like pets are concerned, like cool with rats. But again, in general, like rats are the big exception. I feel like in general, like anything that small or fragile is just, it's skittish. It doesn't want to be around you. It's basically just this cute furry thing that you can, like you can observe them. Like as it, they make great object lessons for kids. Cause then like you can, as a parent, show like, here is the life cycle of a creature. Like it's born and you feed it and you have to take care of it. And then one day it just dies and it leaves you like everything else in this world. Like they make good lessons and good scientific, like, you know, sort of observational kinds of things for your children. But it's not a pet. Like it's not like something you can go to for affection that can hold you and is happy when you come home. Like most of these things could like, to borrow a phrase, give a rat's behind that your home, as long, you know, all they care about is that, like, you just keep providing the pellets, keep providing the pellets, and keep that little plastic water bottle thing with the stainless steel marble full, so every time I put my tongue against it, it gives me water. That's all I care about. They don't really care about you. They just, you know, they're just cute. So that, you know, so that's that class of sort of pets. And then the other class of pets, you know, are like the, like, I guess for lack of a better term, like decorative pets, you know, like fit, like most fish and birds are kind of in this category. Not even kind of, they're way in this category.
For me.
You know, just a pet that is purely there for decorative purposes for the most part. Like some birds can be sort of cute and affectionate. Like I've seen people who have birds like, oh, the bird, look, it eats out of my hand, or like it'll like fly on my finger for a minute. But obviously, like, you know, most rodentia, I hope that's a term because I keep throwing it around like it is. Like most like varmints, like they're too delicate. You can't. Like, you have to be extremely delicate with a bird. You know, you really can't pet it or, like, hold, let alone manhandle it or wrestle with a bird. Like, it's a very, very fragile animal. And I find, like, most people who get birds just get them because they're pretty, you know? It's this sort of decorative animal. Like, I can get this beautiful, you know, sort of parrot or this exotic whatever bird. And I feed it, and, like, it's cute because maybe it does, you know, talks back to me or whatever. But, like, you know, it's kind of a lame pet. Like, it sits – you can't train it to go anywhere else because if you let it out for a second, like, it's going to fly out the window or get eaten by the neighborhood cat. So it pretty much can do nothing but sit in your cage there all day long and then just poop. And then you have to clean out the stupid cage because it can't do anything. And then, like, you know, it's not even smart enough to know, like, when it needs to go to bed. Like, you usually have to put, like, a sheet over to go, like, all right, sleep time, go, boom, sheet. And, like, that's it. Like, that's your whole life with this quote-unquote pet. And fish are even worse. Because, like, fish, let's just put it out there right now. Fish are not pets, okay? At best, fish are, like furniture or decorative art that you have to feed. Like, that's all a fish is. There is absolutely no, like, pet or redeeming value of a fish. It cares absolutely nothing for you or who you are. It doesn't even make a conscious connection between this shadowy figure behind, you know, on the other side of the glass world and the food that comes raining from heaven, like so much manna, you know, like it can't make that mental connection. Like it's just, they just look pretty. And you know this, by the way, fish people talk about their fish. Like they never talk about like their personalities or like, oh, this one's temperamental. Like, oh, this fish here is a total jerk, but this one here is this sweet. Like they don't talk like that. They talk like neurotics and collectors. Like they talk like, oh yeah, this fish over here, this is the nice yellow one that goes really well and accents this other thing here. And then these rocks, they go really well with this other thing here. And this fish here is a cleaner. It actually cleans the whole tank really nicely. Like, you don't have to do it as much if you do this fish. And then it's over here. And these two, you can't put this fish here with this fish here, because if this fish here gets with this fish here, then they're going to fight or they're going to breed and then like make really mutant, weird baby fish. And then that's just throws the whole color scheme off and like your whole fish. Like, they don't talk about it like they're actual creatures. They talk about them like they're like stamps or like, you know, porcelain figurines. Like these aren't creatures to them. They're just like ornaments. Like that's what it is. It's like they talk about them like they talk about the way they collect like ornaments. And like to me, like, okay, that's not a pet. So I mean, if you want to keep fish in that separate category of like living decorative, you know, sort of furniture or art or whatever in your home, fine. I get it. They look pretty. And there's something very calming about having sort of an aquatic sort of thing and like fish just sort of, you know, going about in their fluid, fishy-like way around, and they're not in a hurry. They're just swimming and eating food, and like it's just sort of very calming to have fish in that. I get it. It's pretty. It's nice. It's calming. But don't call that a pet. That's not a pet. It's just, yeah, it's just ornaments you have to feed. Just let it go, man. It's not a pet. So then we go to the most controversial part of this, which is what most people end up with is the whole cats versus dog phenomenon. And look, we all know the basic premise of this argument. Like, dogs are just, they're just blindly, unconditionally, lovingly affectionate most of the time. I mean, we're going to speak in the broad general sense here. Obviously, there are exceptions in both camps. But dogs are just wonderfully affectionate animals. And cats, not so much. They like most Rodentia, could probably care less about you. They're able to, they're smart enough to make that mental connection between, you know, you, this person that happens to live in their domain, and, you know, being the hand that feeds, but they just don't care. They're just that way. And I guess for me, like, I look at people who are like, who recognize that, but are still like way into cats. I look at you and go like, what has gone on in your life? What pains and what hardships, what pain, what sufferings have you had in your life that make you continue to crave abusive relationships? Like, because that's really what a cat is. It's just this abuse, you know, and it reminds me of that old, like, Offspring song, like, Self-Esteem. You know, like, when I hear cat owners talk about their cats and, like they go on, like, oh, maybe if I just get it a better box and, like, feed it some fans, maybe then it'll love me. You know, maybe then it'll, like, want to spend just a little bit of time with me and not run away and, like, be temperamental. Like, I don't need a temperamental animal. I don't need, like, some uppity temperamental animal that I constantly have to, like, reward with treats and, like, balls and, you know, carpeted little, you know, ornaments and structures and give it a special little box kingdom in my house where it can, like, do its business while I then go and clean it up. Like, I'm the serf in the house. Like, I'm the servant. You know, like, I don't need all that. You know, just for that trickle, just for that glimmer of affection that it might occasionally, you know, like, well, I'm done scratching myself, I'm done pooping, I'm done eating, I've killed the whatever small creatures are around the neighborhood, I guess I can give the human a little affection. Like, no, like, I don't need that from you, okay? I'm the person here, okay? This is my, I pay the mortgage up in this house, okay? So when I come home, I want a little more than just, if I have the time. I'm like, no. You the pet, I'm the person. This, you don't get the social contract, which is where I then transition over to dogs. Dogs. Because dogs, whether it's conscious or unconsciously, they get the whole human pet social contract. And the social contract, as it's been passed down from generation to generation, is basically this. Look at beast. Look at me when I'm talking. Dog. Look at me. Just look at me. Here's the contract. All right. I'm going to take you into my house. I'm going to take you out of the world of hostile, feral, you know, scavenging existence. I'm going to take you out of that. I'm going to spare you that existence. I'm going to bring you into the house of warm, of secure, civilized human existence. I'm going to bring you into our world, baby. I'm going to bring you in. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to give you a bed. I'm going to buy you toys and, like, food and biscuits and bullcrap for you to enjoy. If you have, like, medical sort of maladies, like, unless it's grossly out of proportion, unless it's basically something I literally cannot afford, like, I'm going to pay for your medical bills and your shots and your flea baths and your treatments and making your coat glossy. I'm going to, like, introduce you to hot neighborhood dogs for you to, like, you know, bond with and, like, bow chicka wow wow with, and like, I'm gonna provide you with this great and wonderful life. I'm gonna pour my love into you, and I'm gonna darn near treat you like a person. I'm gonna do all this sacrifice, all this completely voluntary sacrifice. I'm gonna do all of that with the one caveat that when I come home, You just pretend to be happy to see me. I'm not sure what's going on in your doggy life. I'm not sure what's happening with you on any particular day. But when I come home, I want happiness. I want tail wagging. I'm excited. Oh my God. You're home. How what? And just, you put your big wet doggy muzzle in my chest and just grab me and just hold, and let me grab you and hold you and just wrestle with you a little bit and just, like, oh, just manhandle you a little and just, ah, oh, that's a pet right there. You get it. You know, this is clearly a relationship that works exponentially in your favor. The one stupid thing that you have to do is just show me some frickin' affection when I come home and have a bad day and I need it, and that's it. Everything else, I'm more than happy to sacrifice if you can just do that one thing. You know, I don't need this, like, you know, coming home and then, you know, you going on with, well, you know, I didn't have a very good day. My dog food was a little dry, and that shit threw down the street did not really like my advances, then like the way it was kind of hot outside. I really should have a bed. Like, no, those are doggy problems. Okay, no. You just stop right there, dog. Those are doggy problems. Okay, those are your problems. I'm happy to help you out with whatever I can, but when I come home, I don't need you to unload your doggy problems on me. I got people problems. I got big old people problems that may inhibit me feeding your doggy problems. So when I come home, it's not about doggy problems. It's about people problems. You're here to make me feel better, and then everything else in your life will be taken care of. That's it. That's the contract. Take it or leave it. If you don't like the contract, then there's a big old wide world out there of alleys and eating out of garbage and fighting with other dogs and, like, you know, getting hit by cars and losing limbs and, like, being worried about other larger animals than you are. There's a whole wide world of that out there with all the personal freedom and all the, you know, all the sort of autonomy that you may want. But if you're going to enter the domain of my house, of human life, of the human world, everything will be taken care of. Your every need or want will be taken care of to the best of my every ability. As long as you're happy to see me, that's all I ask. That's it. So, again, case closed. went on that for a little longer than I expected. I love dogs. If Anna's listening, I want a dog. So last thing is, this is such an, I'm getting tired just thinking about this next topic. So exercise. Some of you people are like, oh, David, you lazy prick. I am. So, you know, it's this whole general topic, and it sort of culminates into a small little story at the end. But, you know, as we've got a house and as we've got space and, you know, as I'm getting older and metabolism's not working out quite so well and, you know, clothes not fitting quite, you know, the normal stuff that happens as you get older. Like, this is not a surprise. Like, I always knew this was going to happen. It always seems like a surprise when it does happen. Like, oh, crap. Like, I don't know what's changed. I'm eating just the way I always used to and, like, things just don't fit as well. Like, well, that's the problem. You know, you're not a spring chicken anymore. You know, you can't just, like, you know, eat a Big Mac and have some black coffee and expect to be running off on your day like a hummingbird. That's just not going to happen anymore. And so, you know, I've been on a casual sort of look for, like, exercises, just like little things. Like, I've already resigned myself to the fact that I'm not going to be, like, you know, an exercise king. Like, I look at people now. It's so funny, like, how many, like, I could always tell, like, the really, like, go-getting, ambitious types of my friends, because they always seem to be, like, in better shape than they were, like, in high school. Like, they always look better and hotter than they did when they were, like, in high school. And, you know, they're just like, oh, you know, I get in, like, a jog, like, before I go to work, and then, like, I have, like, nothing but, like, a cube of cheese and a smoothie during the day, and then, like, I do CrossFit at night, and then, like, oh, okay, hey, cool, man, that's, I will never be as good a person as you, at least in that regard. So, you know, awesome. Good for you. And then, of course, you know, all the other people like me who are just sort of lazy and just basic. So anyhow, I'm trying to find, like, you know, forms of, like, exercise, of things that I like to do. And so, you know, being a somewhat, and all my lazy people out there, all the lazy sort of friends of mine out there will be able to understand this with me. Like, when you're lazy like me, lazy people like me, always have to find exercise programs where there's, like, a lot of reward systems sort of built into it. Either it's an exercise program where the results, like, are really sort of quick and immediate, you know, like, you know, P90X, like, within, like, two of these, like, fat melting workouts, you're just going to be, like, ripped, and, like, you know, girls in the gym are going to be like, wow, I want to jump on that. You know, or they have to be, like, a form of exercise to where built into the exercise is something else that you want. You know what I mean? So, like, I feel like at least one in, like, three of my friends is, like, really into jogging and, like, likes to jog, and, like, it's a big important part of their life. And, like, you could tell, like, joggy people because they, you know, A, they're in better shape and they look better than the rest of us. But, like, B, like, they wear, like, their jogging shoes, like, around, like, as, like, casual footwear. And like they have like various forms of like exercise clothes that they just kind of wear out. Like, oh, what? These are just gym shorts. Like, you know, who knows? I might just have an impromptu jog to do, so I better just wear this during my day. Blah, 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 blah. And so you can always like tell joggy people because of those sort of key sort of factors. And they like to talk a lot about jogging and like why they jog and like why jogging is important and like, you know, how jogging helped me achieve, you know, better self-esteem or personal success or blah, 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 whatever. But like, I can never get like, for me, jogging, I can never really get there with this whole jogging thing. Mostly because, again, I'm lazy. But like, again, like there's not this like a very obvious reward system. Like people who like talk about why they love jogging, you know, besides like, oh, conquering and like, oh, getting to the next level and like finding out about yourself. Like a lot of what they talk about as far as the benefits of jogging usually are things like, you know, they just enjoy the activity. Like it's that sort of, you know, solitary bit of exercise where you're kind of alone in your thoughts. You can kind of jog through a nice area and take in your surroundings. Like maybe you jog through a park or you jog through like nicer parts of your town and you're looking at your surroundings. You're kind of alone with your thoughts and whatnot. And like that part I get. Like when, you know, sometimes I'll go for a walk, like after I've eaten some food or whatever. And I like to go for walks by myself because I enjoy like just, you know, walking about and like not necessarily feeling like I'm having to entertain somebody or like, endure or perpetuate a conversation. Like I can just you know, walk about and take in the neighborhood and look around at trees and like make casual observations about people or things and then just be kind of alone in my thoughts and just kind of think like, so that part of it, like that sort of solitary part of it I get. But the few times I've like actually tried to like sort of jog, I can never get to the point that sort of point of enjoyment because I'm just so racked with like I just want this to be done. I'm just like I'm so preoccupied with like the ending in view and like just getting just finishing this so I can just be done with this exercise that I can't enjoy the actual process. And again, I imagine, or at least I have to imagine, that at some point you will, you know, that's sort of a hurdle that has to be overcome. And like, you have to overcome that to eventually get to the point where you can more regularly enjoy just the activity itself and it not be like just tremendous, insane burden all the time. But I've just never been able to personally break through that. You know, I feel like, for me, and I keep bugging Anna to do this, so if you guys see her, maybe you can bug her about this as well. Like, for me, like, bikes are, like, the good compromise between a car and just jogging. Like, jogging for me, like, you know, people talk about their sense of accomplishment. Like, for me, like, I get to the end of, like, that small, meager amount of, you know, distance and I'm able to jog and go, like, you mean to tell me? And I exuded all that energy. I'm sweating like a sick, you know, stuck animal. I'm sweating like a beast here, and that's all the distance that I covered. That's it. I can't go anywhere with that. I've exuded so much. Even people who like do it regularly, like they, you know, they exude so much energy, and they get such relatively small, you know, compared to what we're used to here in our modern mobile society, such relatively small distances that I'm like, I can't fathom getting any real satisfaction out of that. Like, to me, like, I need to know at the end of this exercise, there's something that I want to do at the end of it. Like, and to me, that's where, like, bikes are, like, a good compromise. Like, you get on a bike, and yeah, you're moving your legs, and maybe it's not as, like, intensive of a workout as jogging is. I'm almost certain it can't be. But at the same time, like, you can get a pretty decent distance on a bike. Like, I can get about the town. I can bike to my local, you know, brewery. I can bike to, you know, a sort of restaurant, or I can bike to, like, you know, the neighboring cities and walk about and sort of check things out. Like to me, like, that's a rewarding exercise. Like, it's something I can hop on that, you know, the rewards are sort of more immediate and obvious. There's a light, there's a carrot that I can chase, that I actually want to chase. And it's sort of there. So, you know, I feel like bikes are cool that way. So anyhow, I keep trying to find these sort of satisfying kind of bits of small light exercise. Cause again, I'm not going to be that guy who goes to the gym, like, you know, at like 5 a.m. before he goes to work, you know, like 3 days a week. That's just, unless I became so so completely dissatisfied with my physical appearance that I had to take drastic measures to like correct it. Like I'm just not going to be that guy. Like, you know, unless I was going to be morbidly obese, if I didn't take measures X, Y, and Z, it's just not going to be me. But you know, if I can find a small number of fun activities to do, you know, that are, you know, also good, happen to be good exercise, cool. All right. Then that's kind of what I can aim for. That's kind of a goal of mine. So like the other day, my employee, Eddie, Mr. Edward Jimenez, he plays like softball, like in this little league and whatnot. And he's not little league, but like in a smaller league. And he's like, hey, you know, why don't we go like, I go to the batting cages every now and then. You want to go to the batting cages with me sometime? And you know, when I was younger, I used to play baseball. A little bit of background on me. And I loved baseball, even though I didn't actually care to watch baseball. Like for me, watching sports on TV has always been kind of boring, but I do like watching live sport. As I mentioned before in my podcast, I like watching live sporting events. And at the time, like, you know, like following players like on baseball cards was always kind of interesting. But I liked playing the game, and I loved going to the batting cages. You know, at the time. In fact, like, even if I wasn't practicing with my team or, you know, if it wasn't in season, like, sometimes I would just have my parents drop me off at this batting cage in Buena Park called Home Run Park. And I would just say, look, just, you know, give me my bat. I have a little bit of my own money. Let me just spend some money. And this is just an activity I like to do. It's light exercise. It's solitary. This isn't like a team activity where I have to feel, self-conscious or sort of weird about this. Like, it's just me, the cage, and the stupid machine at the other end that's just chucking balls at me. And I can just swing away for however long I can reasonably do it. And it was just, I used to tell people, I like going to this place better than I like going to Disneyland, because it was just such a fun activity for me to do. And so fast forward so many years later, I'm like, you know what? That sounds like fun. Let's go to the batting cages. And you have to understand, in my mind, I wanted to say like it was like, oh, it's been like at least 10 years since I've done this. And then I really started thinking, like, I always think of terms in terms of like 10 years ago when I think of like my like sort of, you know, my really young sort of youth. But it's like been closer to almost 20 years ago since I've actually sort of done that. And that's mind-boggling to me, as now I'm 33 years, and it's not been quite 20 years, but it's been close. Like, I think 10 years ago, I was 23 years old. I was in my early 20s. I was, I think, pretty much done. At least I was done with my initial phase of college. I wasn't, certainly not graduated yet. But I was certainly not going to Biola at that point. And, like, there was no way I had been anywhere near a batting cage in many years since then. So I'm guessing it was at least 15 to 17. It could have been as many as 20 years since I've actually been in a batting cage. And, you know, I've just been sort of swinging away that way. So I was, first of all, that tripped me out. Like, wow, it's been a while since I've done this activity that I used to love doing. And in my mind, theoretically, I still would like to do. So, you know, so one particular night, you know, he's still there when I'm at my home / office. And let's just go and get some balls in at the old batting cage. And so we go. And like, first things first, like, I am just such a fish out of water in this whole environment of like exercise and athleticism. And like, as for those of you who know me, you know, first of all, that I don't like to wear pretty much anything except for like dress slacks occasionally, you know, for like work stuff occasionally, and jeans. And like, that's pretty much my whole like below the waist wardrobe. Like, that's pretty much it. So like shorts and like gym shorts and exercise pants, like that's, like, I think I have them somewhere, but I really generally don't wear them. So like, we go to like the batting cages, and of course I'm in my jeans and a t-shirt, and like Eddie's just looking at me like, dude, you're killing me with these jeans. Like, what are you thinking? And he's got his little little workout shoes on, and like, you know, shorts, and like he's got his batting gloves, and like his like couple of bats, and like, and a hat, by the way. Like, why in the world did I think I could go to a baseball themed kind of thing and not wear a hat? I wear a baseball cap. And, you know, he's got the whole, you know, shebang-a-bang, and I'm just here like a dummy with like a graphic tee and some like ill-fitting jeans and, you know, Vans or whatever. So I already looked like a dummy walking into this place. And so, you know, it's various coaches and people, you know, practicing and playing, and we go to our little cage area. And so I'm trying to break the tension like I do with, like, jokes and humor. And so we're there for a little minute, and, like, you know, I go up to the front desk to ask for something with the lady who's working the booth there. And I try to make the joke like, you know, miss, it's been like 15 minutes and we still haven't seen a waitress. And she, and it sounded funny in my head, like when I said the joke, but like she just gives me this look, like she kind of scrunches her face like this really like, ew, who are you? Like, was that, are you serious? And you just said that? I'm like, okay. She's like one of these like really pretty well-dressed, like kind of Asian women. And she just kind of like, kind of scrunched her face a little when I said that comment, and she just kind of, and like didn't say anything after that. I'm like, all right, well, that one didn't fly. Now that was a foul ball right there, that one. And so we go in there and we're swinging, you know, so at first I watch Eddie do his thing and he's, you know, swings and he's cracking these stupid things left and right. And so I'm like, all right, cool. So I go in there. And, you know, and and I'm doing okay. Like, you know, he makes a comment that like, hey, you've actually got a pretty decent swing still, even though you haven't done this obviously in forever. And I'm hitting, I'm like, I'm certainly not doing as well as he was, but like, I'm doing okay. Like I'm hitting balls every now and again. I'm working on my stance and my swing and we're doing this and it feels good just to like kind of swing away and like hit balls and crap. And it's good. And he's like, you know, saying these sort of very sportsy sort of words of encouragement, like, oh yeah, good eye. Oh, hey, you got a piece of it. Oh, look at that one. Oh, look, hey, extend your arms next time, man, do this. And like, oh, look at that one. Look at you. That was good. You know, and like, oh, whatever sort of technical baseball-y kind of words of encouragement. So then I do my thing. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. And we go back and forth a little bit. And I realize I'm like, when he's up there, like, I'm not saying anything because I don't know what to say. But whenever I'm up there, like, he's like throwing all these like baseball-y words of encouragement. And I realize I have nothing. So like, I try to like say things, I guess. So like, he goes up there and he's like swinging away like, crack. Good hair, dude. Your hair looks good. Chicka, 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 chicka. Crack. Do you want to go eat later? Chicka, 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 chicka. Crack. You smell nice, dude. Wow. Has anyone ever told you? Like, I don't know what to say. So I'm like, just coming up with like, just sort of like, hey, or good one, or whatever. Because I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say with these, in these sort of situations. So it was a whole funny sort of circumstance doing this. And like, again, half an hour into this, you know, again, I'm just sweating like a sick animal. And like, you know, it's not even just me doing this consistently, because like we're trading off in the same cage. So like I'm getting little bits of rest while he's, you know, swinging away, and then like I'll let him do a little bit more than I do because he's actually got to train for his league or whatever. And it's such a weird bummer because, you know, obviously he's been in much better shape than I am. But, you know, maybe I just need to get over that and not be so self-conscious, whatever. But getting back into the whole batting cage thing, like, I really did find that kind of exercise just satisfying. Because really, half an hour into it, and I'm tired. We did the whole thing for like an hour, and like, I was done. And again, I'm not going for an hour straight. Like, it's me alternating mostly with him. But like, by the end of the hour, like, I'm so done with this. But it's fun because, you know, it's a bit of light exercise. It's largely solitary because it's just you in the cage. Like, I'm not having to do any, being the selfish and narcissistic person I am, I'm not having to like, you know, like work with or cooperate with anybody else. It's just me, the machine at the other end in the cage. And like the thing goes click, 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 click. And I just, pah, and like when you hit it just right, there's something so immensely satisfying with like everything about that experience, like the sound, the crack that it makes against the sort of aluminum bat, the feeling of, and you feel it in your hands before you even see the ball sort of soar. Like, it feels just right. There's just that perfect amount of just sort of resistance. Like, it doesn't feel like sort of sharp or choppy. It's almost like this like you're cutting through like butter, just this like thick sort of perfect amount of resistance that happens when the ball connects perfectly with the bat, and it makes that perfect sound, and it feels perfectly resistant against the hands as it hits, and you look and it soars perfectly, sort of not necessarily exactly straight, but in that forward direction, and it just feels wonderful. And it's just that sort of euphoric feeling that I get when I just am able to just sort of swing away that makes like that kind of exercise just sort of fun. So after we got through all of that, after we did that whole sort of shebang-a-bang, we get to, you know, and I'm at that point in my life, you know, it having been like 15 years, over 15 years, now close to 18 years since I've had like my own money. Like my first job was when I was 15. So it's been like 18 years now since I've been in a position where I've had like my own money to do my own things with. So I am now at that point in my life where I can remember things like when I was such and such an age, things were only cost this much, blue, 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 blue. And like, I remember going like, it costs that much to rent this stupid thing for like half an hour. What the crap? Like, I remember when I could just go and throw like a half penny into the old slot machine and I'd get 75 balls for a half penny and still have enough change left over to ride the train from here to Northumbridge or whatever the crap. And and so like I'm at that point in my life now where I'm like, wow, like I do not remember it costing this much, but gee golly whiz, that was at least 15 to 18 years ago. So of course it costs more than it used to cost back then. What was I thinking? So, I mean, like, it's a fun exercise. I'm not sure if it's the kind of thing I could do too regularly because Anna would kill me if I was spending that much money on exercise. But our plan is, the eventual plan is, if for those of you who have been to our place, is to the garage area. We're going to clean that out. We're going to, you know, sort of carve all that area out, maybe put, I don't know about carpet, but at least paint it, put some drywall up, blah, 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 blah. And the idea is to mount the TV up there with maybe a couple of treadmills and some other bits of light sort of exercise equipment and just have that be the room where we work out while we sort of binge watch, you know, whatever's on Netflix or whatever. Like, basically, I recognize that I'm just kind of a beast and, like, you know, it just put me in the stupid hamster wheel and, like, put something that I like or that I want in front of me and I'll just keep mindlessly, you know, just sort of walking towards it until I can just walk no more. Until I, my very stupid brain recognizes that, like, oh, I think I'm tired now. I think I'm going to be... Like that's the only thing that's going to get me to consistently work out. Is if someone puts the TV and you know, in front of the exercise machine, like, okay, this is where I want to be. Button push, and here I am. I'm walking now. I'm walking. Oh, look, House of Cards. I'll have to start watching that again. Like, that's the only thing that's going to keep me exercising on a regular basis if someone puts a TV or some other stupid carrot in front of it. So, anyhow. All right, well, thank you guys so much for participating, as is your place to participate in the listening of this podcast. You know, I don't know, come down sometime. It gets lonely out here in Pomona, California. We have this wonderful house and no guests, or at least not enough guests. So please come by, enjoy. Thanks for listening. Peace out.